Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
Oh, yeah, we back. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Pickett, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. I'm about to bring on a special guest. This guy has a pro MMA record of 14-6 and 2-0 in the BKFC. Let's bring on the one and only Marcus Bad Intentions Edwards. Marcus, what's good, man?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I want to start with your amateur career. You were undefeated as an amateur, right?
Yes. I went 11-0 as an amateur.
Okay. And then, did you transition into UFC or some other MMA at first?
My first MMA fight was actually against, Justin Gaethje. It was like on a 2-week notice. It was for Ring of Fire, out in Colorado. I took the fight on short notice and they're like, hey man, you're pretty much running through all the amateurs in the division. You know, I'm fighting in every state. They're like, you know, this is a big step up for you. This guy's the like next big thing, you know, and this would tell you where you're at, you know, let's get in there and get after it. So yeah, I took a fight against Justin on 2-week notice and yeah, we went all three rounds. It was definitely a great fight. That's for sure.
How did you get into MMA?
Ooh, man, shit. I've been doing this stuff since I was like 6 years old, wrestling, judo, man. Grappling. You know, I've always been the physical kid, you know. I could never play a sport that wasn't physical, you know. Like basketball, foul out. So I've tried to play soccer, getting in fights. I've always just been the kid that was super physical and, always played up. In age, I never played at my age group. So I was always, you know, playing with guys that are, you know, bigger than me. And, you know, so like that kind of just, you know, pushed me into the, you know, the fighting world, you know, with the MMA, doing MMA based off of my background of wrestling, judo, jiu-jitsu, and boxing growing up.
What was your experience like in the UFC?
So I did the Ultimate Fighter house. I did the tryouts. I got out to the last day. There was just certain things that were going on that, you know, that was said to me, you know, you do different interviews. So you do your physical, you know, sparring, do it, showing what you got, all this stuff. And then you make it to the next round, you do all this different stuff. And then they have like an interview with like the casting people. And, you know, they talk about, you know, what type of character and stuff you're going to be. And, you know, it wasn't just like, at the time, it didn't feel like, you know, the avenue I was on, what didn't feel like the fighter house was like my thing. So unfortunately I never made it to the UFC. I've had a couple, you know, I had a call up that I wasn't able to answer due to just like life situations. So I feel like, you know, my career has always been like I've been like on the cusp of the UFC, and you know, I've had the two opportunities and when they've come, you know, something always happens, man. It just seems like that's just part of my life, you know, like my story, kind of like with BKFC. You know, I had a really big opportunity, you know, to fight, you know, for a big fight, you know, for them out here headlining the Colorado card. And, you know, I had some stuff happen and I had to take 3 months off. So it's just like, you know, it's just like the story of my life, man. You know what I mean?
So they wanted you to like play a character and have a gimmick in the UFC?
Pretty much, you know, when I was talking to, you know, the guys I was talking to, they're pretty much like, you know, they're like, you look like the wild guy, you know, this, you know, there's like certain perks and stuff, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, just for me to move on, I didn't feel like it was like, it just wasn't for me at the moment. You know what I mean?
Can you share with us particularly your most memorable fight in your career and what you learned from that fight?
Ooh, yeah, it definitely was the Justin Gaethje fight. You know, it was like the first time I ever fought somebody, and the last time I ever fought somebody that was like, it was like I was fighting myself. You know what I mean? So, it was the only time I've ever been dropped in a fight. You know, and you know, it was definitely the fight that told like showed me like, okay, like this is where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? He pushed me. I pushed him right back. You know, I dropped him, he dropped me. It was a back and forth fight. It was, you know, 3 rounds, you know, my first fight fighting 5 minute rounds, and you know, somebody just coming at me with everything they had, and me returning. You know, like I said, I had 11 amateur fights, and I mean, I didn't get hit one time in any of the amateur fights. I think all my
Wow.
amateur fights combined were like somewhere around like 4 minutes. So I was just like
Wow.
knocking guys out, you know, and like, you know, finishing fights really quick. So coming out and like getting dropped like the first 20 seconds of the round, and then like, you know, recovering from that and ended up dropping him and like pushing him to the point where he's exhausted, and like finding that guy inside of me, like, all right, like I can go the distance, I can push myself, and then I can read, you know, my opponent and capitalize off of his conditioning, or you know, of things that he's, you know, he's fell into, present throughout the rounds, that I can capitalize on his mistakes. So that was like a really memorable round. I mean, he's hit me the hardest I've ever been hit, and you know, I mean, he's kicked me the hardest. So I mean, I mean for like 2 weeks afterwards my leg was purple, so you know, I can barely walk it. So that was like the most memorable fight for me. You know, it was I felt like I was in an actual fight, and I have yet to feel that yet again since then.
Now, you haven't had many, but I always got to ask this with the fighter, especially in BKFC. Like, how do you deal with losses and bounce back from defeats?
Oh man, I had one, you know, one. I mean, with me, the defeats that I've lost, they've been decisions. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it could have went either way. You know, so those ones are like the tough ones where it's like, well, I didn't really beat him and I didn't really win. You know what I mean? So, you know, in my mind, it's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, I didn't get finished. I didn't, you know, this like time to get to the drawing boards. Where did I make the mistake? Where this, and just come back and like they say, it's like it's what you do after your loss. So like for me, it's like I'm sad in the moment. You know, I take that night, I take the next day. You know, if once I can get to look at the tape, I see where I made mistakes, where I, you know, let up or didn't push the throttle when I should have, and you know, make the little tiny, you know, fine tuning. But you know, like I try to tell everybody, like it's a sport. You know what I mean? And you know, you would love to be the guy that goes undefeated. You know what I mean? But you know, it's just like basketball. You're gonna lose some. You gotta come back to, you know, the next week and get the job done. So you can't dwell on them. You know, I don't dwell on anything really in my life. You know, it's like once it happens, it's happened. You know, swallow that shit and get right back on it. You know what I mean? And the losses that I had, I've never had 2 losses in a row. You know, I'll always come back stronger. I always come back better. And you know, I'm always hungry. So yeah, I feel like I handle losses pretty good, you know, mentally. You know, everybody goes through their own little mental, you know, the one I will say, there was one loss in my career that affected me the most, and it was when I fought Pat Healy. I fought Pat Healy on 4 day notice, and I had just came off of like a 3 round war with Thiago Alves, and you know, I had taken a week off. And I came in to practice, and I get a call like, "Hey, like we need somebody to fight this guy Friday night." And you know, I gave them some like outrageous numbers, and was like, "You pay me this, and you sign my buddy to a 3 fight contract, and shit, I'll fight him." And you know, I'm not thinking they're gonna, you know, answer that, and you know, and I get a phone call like, "Hey, check your email." And they're like, all right. So I was like, shit, dude. Like, I haven't trained for a whole week. I'm coming off of a fight. You know, I've been eating. You know, I checked my weight that night, and I was like 28 pounds overweight. I'm
Oh,
like,
man.
damn. I'm like, damn, this is about to be a hard one. I started getting scared. Like, man, I'm not gonna make weight. I've never not made weight. Like, you know, I'm a professional. I'm not gonna show up like, you know. And yeah, I cut 28 pounds in 3 days, man. And made
Wow.
weight at 155, and I think that was the hardest fight mentally for me, because not only did I cut all that weight, I couldn't rehydrate the right way, I was dehydrated going into the fight. We fought in Missouri, so we fought in misery, and it was humid as shit. The air conditioner broke. They had four title fights that night. Pat Healy and I was the last title fight. Every title fight went the distance, so we didn't fight until like 12:40, like at night, and it was just humid, and I was just like already exhausted, and I just went out and just like fought my hardest, and you know, that was the only fight in my career where my body just shut down, and like that was the first time in my entire life where I was like, damn, like I can't defend myself right now. Like I'm in full mount on top of him and I can't even use my arms right now. You know, like it changed a lot inside of me. It took me like a good 2 months to come to terms with like, hey, like that's not who you are. You know, you put your body through this. You got to like understand that, you know, you went into this, you know, dehydrated or whatever it was, you know, because you start questioning yourself like, yo, like, do I got what it takes? Like, I gassed out. Or, you know, you don't, your mind doesn't want to understand like, hey, I put myself through all this extra stuff before I got into this situation, you know? So it took a little bit. It took a little time for me to get over it. But, you know, I ended up bouncing back and getting a win right after that. So.
How did you lose all that 28 pounds in 3 days?
Man, we got with a nutritionist and I pretty much like, so what I did was I got steamed salmon pretty much. And we had it cut into like two ounces. I ate like six times a day. I just had the like a handful of spinach and man. I ate the protein every like 2 hours. And I did like 5-6 fat burns, 2 practices, and I just did that all day. And, you know, I didn't eat after like 5 at night. And, you know, I just had like a half of a gallon of water. And then the next day I didn't drink anything. And then it was the weigh-in day. So it was like, I was just pretty much fat burning and trying to keep the protein high. And yeah, and I got there to, you know, the day of the weigh-ins, I ended up cutting like 12 pounds. Yeah, and that was pretty rough. I passed out like twice. I was like,
yeah, that seems like a fight within itself. Just trying to get to the weight down.
It was definitely like, man, you know, like everybody that knows me, like, you know, I used to fight at 155. So, you know, I used to cut from like 200, 210, somewhere around that range. Like right now, I'm like 225 right now. Okay. So like, I used to cut from like this weight to 155. So everybody knows like, damn, that I'm like a master weight cutter. I don't know. I just water load and get it off. But yeah, that one was one in my career where I'm like, yeah, I wish I never did that because I probably took like 10 years off my life.
Damn.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
You're undefeated in BKFC. When have you heard anything about when your next fight's gonna be?
Oh man, so like I said, man, I had opportunity headline the card in Colorado this month. And you know, a lot of people don't know this, man. A lot of people, like, you know, I'm okay to share it now, but you know, for like the last like 7 to 8 years of my life, I've been dealing with like a severe arthritis in my hip. So that's
I know that you had me clip it out of the last interview and I made sure I did that for you, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm ready to share it now. You know, after my last fight, so like if you go back and watch my last fight, you see I fall 4 times. It's I come forward, and when I come forward, I don't, you know, I come, you know, so pause. But, you know, this last fight, you know, I was coming forward and I just fell and I fell and I fell and my leg was just like, my right hip was just going out on me. And, you know, I end up like after that fight, I go in and the doctor's like, you know, he couldn't even schedule me for like 2 months. He was like, hey, we'll see what's going on. Let's just get you in here and get some x-rays and get some stuff going. And he's like, you know, if there is anything, my next soonest, you know, available appointment is like 2 months out. And I say, all right, that's cool. You know, I'm planning to fight all this time. So after the fight, I can, you know, I go in and he's like, yo, like I morally cannot let you leave here without getting you an appointment. Let me move some stuff around. He's like, this is the worst hip I've ever seen. And, he's like, I showed him my last fight and he's like, yo, there's absolutely no way you're fighting like that with this hip. He's like, there's zero, you have no mobility, you have no firing. And he does like sports hips. He's like, this is the worst hip like I've seen. And He's like, we got to get this taken care of ASAP. He's like, you're not on a walker. Is this a joke? Like, what's going on? I'm like, nah, I just bear the pain. But yeah, man, I ended up getting my hip replaced, and I just started training last week. You know, it's been 3 months, and I feel great. Like, y'all about to see a whole new animal. Like, before I could barely walk, before I could barely move, like, and nobody knew, you know, and now I'm able to, I haven't done lower body workouts for, I can't tell you the last time I lifted weights or deadlifted or anything with my legs, because of my hip. Everything was always modified around just riding a bike, keep the weight off, you know, trying to get the strength with like bike, rowing, you know, stuff like that. Never lifting. So now I'm back lifting and, you know, doing all these exercises I haven't been able to do since, you know, like 2016. So, yeah, so I'm feeling great. I just got done with the class with Jake and over at Genesis. And I mean, I'm like, I don't know, I'm biting at the bit. I'm hungry. I have a meeting sometime after this with my manager about options that they're about to give me. So I'm hoping to get back in there at the end of July. I'm trying to get in there. I feel great. I mean, I'm ready to, like, I can show you better than I can tell you. That's where I'm at right now.
I know you watched BKFC. What was it? 60 in LA.
Yeah.
With Juggernaut broke his arm when he fell. Is that like an important thing to just really watch how you fall in that ring?
Man, you know, I think I'm not too familiar with his background, with Lorenzo's background of like MMA. I've never really looked. I've only known him to be the BK guy. You know what I mean? But I mean, for me, falling has been a part of my life since I was six, doing judo, wrestling, you know, and the way he fell, I mean, I think the way he fell was based solely off of him being clipped and not being completely there. And his hand just kind of his not being connected to his mind. And it just got caught behind him. But yeah, there's a certain way you fall, man. If you're able to, you know, to brace yourself. I mean, at this point in my career, I pray to God, you know, that I never touch the canvas. But, you know, but if I do, you know, I've fallen so many times. I've thrown a lot of people. I've been thrown. So it's just muscle memory for me to fall a certain way, or to roll through things, or, you know, to, you know, be able to put myself in a position to keep myself from being injured or hurt. But with Lorenzo, I think honestly is solely based how he fell and how his arm got stuck behind him was solely based off of him being rocked. Yeah.
I know that's gotta suck for him, man. I mean, you know, he had such high hopes of getting both like weight classes and winning the belt, and that happens. I mean, I've actually dislocated a shoulder, broke a femur in every toe in my foot when I got hit by a car. I ain't gonna lie, man. That was a little tough moment. We did the Circle Kings interview. It's like you said you got your target set on Redneck Mundell. Is that still the thing?
I mean, that is the ultimate goal, is whoever has the belt.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to fight you know, Mike Perry. I mean, that's a big thing for me. You know, they're saying he's the face, he's the man. Yeah, I want the belt. You know, that's what everyone's after, the belt. But like right now, I feel like, you know, he's the guy to beat. You know, he's beating everybody. I'm kind of a guy that, like, you know, I've kind of like haven't really surfaced much, but I've beat so many good people. You know, I feel that I am the best in BKFC until they prove me otherwise. And I feel that with my fight style, and Perry's fight style, I believe, you know, when the time comes, you know, just, I have to do my work in the, you know, in BK, and they line them up, I knock them down. I put on shows, you know, I come after people, I make fights. And that's the one thing about BK is you want that guy that's going to come out, knock people out, be in people's face, you know, put on a show and you're going to enjoy watching that. And I believe that's what, you know, Mike Perry and I will do stylistically. We would put on a beautiful show of just pure striking. You know, it's not going to be this 2 minute, you know, or a minute in the first, you know what I mean? Like, he's been beating these guys that are trying to like box him and play this game. You know, when you're fighting a fucking dog, you got to come out there and be a dog. You know what I mean? And that's what, you know, that's what I bring to the table is I can be whatever I want when I want to be it, you know? And, you know, I believe that he's my ultimate goal at the moment since he's undefeated and he's pretty much, you know, the top guy in my weight class. But yeah, Mondell is definitely in my targets. You know, he has the title. I want that title. I want the title of, you know, the guy that beat, you know, Mike. And I think that's anybody, you know, anybody that wants to be the best, they just want to fight whoever's the best, you know, in their lane, in their row. You know, as far as anybody else in any other weight classes, I don't really care about none of that. I'm keeping my eyes focused in my division and whoever they put in front of me, line them up. Like, yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. So, you know, line them up, let me knock these fools down and give me what I believe that, you know, I'm way past due, you know, and, you know, I've had a lot of situations in my life where I've made bad decisions and put myself in bad, you know, bad spots where, you know, I should be, you know, I see there's guys that I've trained with that I've been 100% better than that are, you know, fighting at the top spots. And, you know, unfortunately I was just the guy that, I never put myself first, you know, I always wanted to put somebody else first and, you know, put myself in bad positions and, you know, I own every decision I make, but, you know, I feel it's my time, you know, and, you know, it's better late than never. And I believe BK is where I do it. You know, I have beautiful hands, I have power, I have speed. I come from different angles. I'm quick, I'm elusive. And the one thing that everyone has fought me is going to know is like that motherfucker came at me. That was a fight. Like, you know, I may not want to do that again, you know, like, so yeah, that's the one thing I know I bring to the table. And yeah, going into the BK it's my sport. I feel like, you know, I just need the platform. That's the platform. And now I just need these fights. I'm healthy and I'm ready to go.
Well, look, I'm gonna be honest. I'm a big Redneck Mandel fan. I'm not too big of a fan of Mike Perry. But I got to ask you, do you think BKFC, because I know fighting has this politics where, like you said, he's the face of the BKFC. He is, and he hasn't been beaten yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fights are like kind of catered to keep him undefeated. Could I be wrong about that? Or
man, I think you're wrong. I think the thing is they're not, I don't think they're catered to keep him undefeated. I think that these fights are money fights. These are
okay. Let's money go fights.
Let's get another big name and see what happens.
Big name.
And
if
that guy beats him, then he's the next guy. Let's get another big name from another division, or let's bring somebody in and now fight this guy. You know, everybody knows this promotion, you know, BK is still fresh. They're still one of the newest.
They are, you're right. Yeah.
And, you know, they need to bring more eyes. And, you know, just like boxing, they do these, like, you know, these Conor McGregor, you know, versus Mayweather fights, you know what I mean? It brings all these people from different walks of, you know, mixed martial arts together. And, you know, I believe that's what they're doing with, in that sense of, you know, bringing guys that have been in the UFC or, you know, K1 or, you know, whatever it may be to kind of bring more eyes to the division, which is beautiful for everybody. You know, more eyes is more money. And, you know, that lines the fighters' pockets and makes it, you know, to the point where guys can actually, you know, do what they have to do to put on good shows because they can focus on fights. But as far as catering to him winning, he's just winning, you know, he's fighting tough guys, you know, they're just, BK's a brutal sport, getting hit in your mouth with fists that and you're not used to it is, you know, if you didn't start off on the street and you're one of those dudes that came into a gym and was like, I'm a great wrestler, you know, I've been in like a bar fight or so, then yeah, like you're not used to that world. Like, you know, I don't know Mike Perry's background, but my background, man. And I mean, anybody from California where I'm from can contest to this, man. I mean, I was feared, you know, on the streets of fighting. Like I've been in over 300-400 street fights easy. And that's no cap. And it, you know, a lot, most of the fights were fights that just happened and somebody's getting jumped. And I'm just like, yeah, all right, well, I'll help him. You know what I mean? Or my boys calling me up like, yo, we about to meet behind blah, blah, blah. Let's go get it in. And it's just, you know, 20 versus 20 type deal. But, you know, in those moments, it's like, yo, like, you could die. So you fight differently. It brings out a different type of animal in you, especially when everybody knows you're the guy that knocks people out and they're gunning for you. You know what I mean? So it brings a different person out of you, different animal. You see life differently. And, you know, once you do fight, and especially a sport like this, you know, it allows you to be the dog that you are, because you know there's no knives, there's no guns, it's just another man in front of me that bleeds, breathes, and eats and drinks just like I do. So you know, let's see who can take it. And that's what happens. And I think that's why he's winning, is because he can take that damage, because he's been there and he understands. And it's just like anything, muscle memory. You just fight.
Well, BKFC is definitely not having no problem selling out any events. I know that much. And now they got Conor McGregor as part owner. What does that do for the future of BKFC? Even more brighter, would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think that's awesome. I think it's an awesome thing for the sport, bringing, you know, Conor coming in, buying half or a quarter or whatever he has. You know, he's a new business guy. You know what I mean? He's trying to grow his brand. He's trying to this, he's trying that. So I think having somebody that's so hungry, someone that's been there, that's still doing it, that's one of the best to do it, that sells his fights, you know, bringing somebody in like that, that's hungry in the business aspect of fighting and wants to help grow and wants to put their name and stamp and a legacy on something. I think that not only helps, you know, the bare knuckle scene across the world for every bare knuckle organization. I think it helps all the fighters, especially in BK. You know, the eyes that he's going to bring from just the people that, you know, follow him, that have his back, you know, bringing in more sponsors, bringing in, you know, just everything that comes with that Conor, you know, McGregor, you know, platform. So I think it's a great thing for BK, and I think it's an even better thing for the fighters.
I got one more question before we let you go and give your shout outs. What kind of advice would you give anybody trying to get into this fight game, whether it's MMA or BKFC?
Man, you know, it's funny. I've been doing a lot of coaching since I've been injured. If you're getting into something, it doesn't matter what it is, do it because you have the love and the passion for it. You know, not just because you see other people do it or it's cool or I fight. Like, make sure you're in love with it. And like there's nothing, you wake up and it's the first thing on your mind. You go to sleep, it's the last thing on your mind. You know, when you're in tough moments, you're learning in those moments and that in the craft. You know, there's some times where you're going to be exhausted, you're going to be tired, and like, yo, I don't want to show up. Show the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things like that it takes, especially to be a fighter. You know, when you can punch in your face, like, you know, don't be a bitch. You know, there's the one thing I'm going to say, like, oh, I'll leave you with this. Like, you know, I hate going to fucking gyms. Sorry, excuse my language. I hate going to gyms or like practice and dudes punching people in the mouth and then telling them they're sorry. Or dude being like, why are you hitting me hard? Like, shut the fuck up and hit me back harder, bro. Like, let's get after it. Like, yeah, take care of your fucking teammates. But at the same time, like, don't be a bitch. Like, we're grown ass men. And if you want to be a fighter, be a fucking fighter. Shake hands afterwards and grow. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like, you know, I came in at a point where it was like, like, we have like regular MMA gloves on and like shin guards on, and that was it. And we're just banging, you know. It was like gladiator school when I first started fighting. Now it's like, you know, everybody's geared up, knee pads, elbow pads, and like, you know, and it's like, oh, like, yeah, take care of your toys. But at the same time, like, you gotta learn how to be tough at practice, because you're not just gonna get rocked in the fight and imagine and expect to just like be able to work through it if you've never pushed yourself and been there in that position before. So I encourage people to like push themselves and break down walls. And there's only way to break down walls is to get the fuck after it. You know what I mean? But yeah, if you want to be a fighter, just make sure you're not a bitch.
You heard it from Marcus Bad Intention Edwards. if you want to get in his fight game, his best advice is don't be a bitch.
Yeah, facts.
It's before funny, we go, though. Any shout outs you want to do?
Man, you know, like I haven't, you know, I was just talking. I don't have really any shout outs, man. You know, like I've just been sticking to myself. I don't have really any sponsors or anything right now. I've just been kind of laying low, you know, obviously like my gym, Genesis. But yeah, man, nah, not really. I don't have really any shout outs, man. I'm in this phase of just hibernation, you know what I mean? And, yeah, so when I come out of that, you know, I'll show my love to everybody that it's due to, but in the moment, you know, just wait, watch and see.
Well, I appreciate you coming on for the interview and, yeah. You know, anytime you want to come back on, please do. And I'm going to definitely stay in touch with you.
Yes, sir.
Got to find out when your next fight's going to be and whatnot, and going to stay following and promoting, you know, whatever you do, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, definitely. I like when we did the Circle Kings, like, you know, all you guys are super cool. And I know you edited that stuff out for me, so I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I was a little nervous at the time. Didn't know, you know, any aspects of it. I can get in trouble. I don't know. So, yeah, I really do appreciate that and always showing me love, man.
Nah, I definitely wanted to respect your wishes on that, because I know you didn't really mean to disclose that information.
Yeah, just
on
came
the
out.
Show. Yeah, and then he was like, hold up. You know, after the show, he was like, yo, can you edit it out? Yeah. And what's crazy is I'm not, like, the master editor, but I felt like I did a pretty good job on
you
it.
You did.
Cutting it out, and that way they didn't know. And you know, we ain't grimy over here. Like, you know, somebody like, yo, Marcus got hip problems, man.
Yeah,
you know, that's the inside.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Make sure
you get a couple hips.
Yeah, yeah.
Hip.
Make sure you
hit
go
down.
Man, you know, nah, we ain't doing none of that over here and whatnot. But once again, thank you for coming on. Anytime you want to come on, man, please do, man.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you, brother. Yeah, I'll definitely shoot you a message when I find out when I'm going to be fighting again, so you'll know what's going on.
That's what's up, man. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks, brother. I'll see you.
All right, peace. Well, that was another one. Marcus Bad Intention Edwards, 16-4 in MMA fights for pros and 2-0 BKFC, and you heard him. He should be coming back to BKFC soon. Soon we'll find out when his next fight's going to be. Can't wait. Want to see him continue that streak. Go to the 3-0 and keep doing his thing. Once again, this is another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Wednesday, we got Marcus Suarez, Merck, and Thursday, we should have Connor McKinnon, who's fighting Zach Kalmus at BKFC 61 in the undercard fight for the heavyweights. Stay tuned. Once again, another episode of Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out. Peace.